welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a wonderful day today. We have pretty good weather again, which is abnormal for Florida lately, but other than that, it's pretty exciting. Have Dad on here with us. How are you doing today, bud? I thought we had him on here. That was not correct, so I will keep going with some new news. Hope you guys had a good evening. But this is a new report now that just came in from Harvard. This is interesting now, guys. Many of have blamed the government for allowing Big Pharma to have a monopoly, and now a Harvard study has actually admitted that is indeed the main cause of the increasingly serious problem. The paper, which was entitled "The High Cost of Prescription Drugs in the United States, Origins and Prospects for Reform," sought to uncover the origins of the country's super high drug prices and look into the effects caused by this prohibitive cost in order to help develop policy options that could rein them in. It was authored by Harvard Medical School Dr. Jerry Arvern and Dr. Aaron Kelsheim, along with jurist Amit Sapart. They examined peer-reviewed health policy and medical literature dealing with the sources of drug prices in the country over the past decade. They found that per capita spending on prescription drugs in America is the highest anywhere in the world, and with the figure for Americans more than double the average of 19 other industrialized countries put together. They stated, although prices are often justified, supposedly, by the high cost of drug development, there is no evidence of an association between research and development costs and in retail prices. Rather, prescription drugs are priced in the United States primarily on the basis of what the market will bear. Market exclusivity stemming from legal protection against competition provided by the government is the single biggest factor allowing Big Pharma to set these out-of-control prices. Such regulatory exclusivity is granted upon gaining FDA approval, and they go on here and use the point of Turing Pharmaceutical, which we've talked about this numerous times, which raised the price of Toxoplasmos, the Daraprim, by 5,500%, jumping it from $13 a pill to $750 a pill overnight last year. The medication did not have a patent protection, but because no other competing manufacturer were licensed to market this particular drug in America, the company got away with setting the price as high as they wanted without any type of recourse. So this is why, guys, I keep telling you over and over and over again, the natural options, the supplements, the nutrients, the turmeric, the exercise, the overall maintaining good health in your body is so key right now in keeping you healthy and fit on a regular basis, because these pharmaceutical drugs, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg on what's going to happen. The higher we're starting to see the Obamacare with the premiums and the health care costs go up higher and higher and higher, the pharmaceuticals are going to tap into this increasingly larger and ever-expanding market to bring up the drug cost as much as they can, because quite frankly, if the drug companies are being protected by the United States government as far as being able to charge whatever they want, and Obamacare continues to pay, and we subsidize these ridiculous costs, there's absolutely no incentive for them to reduce their pricing whatsoever, especially when they have no competition on some of these drugs. So I wanted to bring that up. I heard you back on, Dad. I don't know what happened there, but it looks like we got you back on the show, so that's good. What do you think about that?
Well, what's going on is the drug companies wrote the laws for Obamacare and the insurance companies. I mean, this was all written by these guys to maximize their profits. See, the problem that you have when you run into a free enterprise system, if you don't have proper regulation, you have the monopolies develop. And when these monopolies develop, they control pricing, because if you have to have insulin, for instance, if you're an adult onset or you're a juvenile diabetic and you have to have insulin, it really doesn't matter what the cost of the insulin is, because the demand for that insulin is inelastic. In other words, what that means is that if you don't get it, you're going to die. Period. It's inelastic. You can't stretch. You can't take it or not take it. You've got to take it. So they can price it any way they want to price it. This is what happened. We saw, you know, at the turn of the last century, you know, 100 years ago, with the trust busters that had to come in because they had to break up the giant monopolies that were pretty much all Rothschild controlled, because they were pretty much setting the pricing on anything they wanted to do. This has happened in the radio industry when you have people like Clear Channel come in and basically buy up all the radio stations in a market. They can charge whatever they want to do on the advertising, because that's the only radio option you have. In addition to that, they can report the news any way they want to report it, and they can censor the news. Bill Clinton brought us that. So the same thing is true with pharmaceuticals. If you're the only manufacturer of a product that's supposed to treat toxoplasmosis, which is a cat brain parasite, which gets into human beings that basically infects humans. They estimate 100 million folks are infected with toxoplasmosis in the United States right now, which is basically a worm inside of your brain. They think, well, the only treatment protocol for that is this drug, and it's also another treatment protocol they used. I think they were using it for Austin, it'll come to me in a second. But they were using it for multiple protocols, and so they can just raise it up to $800 or $900 a pill because no one's stopping them from doing it. That's why when you allow the banks to own everything, including the regulatory agencies, and you allow these giant cartels, these banking cartels to come in, these basically criminals, they can control pricing on anything. They can fix the pricing on anything because they run the planet. So it doesn't matter because you and I are just slaves of these guys. I mean, you know, I got a newsflash for you. Do you have a ticket for the deep underground military base in the event of a nuclear war in your possession right now? Have they sent you a coupon? A coupon, you can call it. You know, do you have one? I mean, I don't have one. Awesome.
I don't have one.
You know what I mean? So in the event of a nuclear war, they're going to know in advance if this is going to start off. And this would be like that movie 2012. These elite that have these tickets, these bankers and these people that run the planet, these Secret Service guys and everything else, are basically going to be all congregating underground, waiting for the first volley of nuclear strikes or weapon-based space platform things to be detonated or whatever they're going to do. And then, you know, when all the stuff ends, they're going to come up from above ground and go, wow, everybody's dead. How nice. We have a whole planet to ourselves. Now we get to start over. Well, I don't have the ticket for the underground base. And Catherine Austin Fitz, a few years ago, she came in and said, Austin, that the United States government, there's the secret spy network that runs it, the shadow government, had siphoned $40 trillion off the United States to build all of these deep underground military bases in the advanced weapon we have on. Which brings me to my first story, which was written by Charles. And it's interesting. It's basically the deep state institutions that couldn't care less who you vote for. Now, I'm going to correct that. The deep state institutions that couldn't care less who you vote for? No. The deep state institutions who determine who you vote for, and in most cases are going to determine who wins the election. That's what we're going to talk about. That's where we name this. The American people are fully enthralled again of the puppet show of the election. Even veteran politicians such as the constitutionally minded Ron Paul have publicly stated that your vote doesn't matter as long as the deep state continues to exist, living off the funds siphoned from taxpayers and scuttled into covert black ops and secret budgets. The elections, quote, this is Ron Paul's exact quote, the elections don't matter. This is a ritual we go through. My belief is that the control is the deep state, and people have to realize that, quote Ron Paul. Former Republican U.S. Congressman Mike Lofgren, who retired in 2011, 28 years after congressional staffer, defines the deep state as follows. It's a hybrid of national security and law enforcement agencies, the Department of Defense, the Department of State, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the Justice Department. I also include the Department of the Treasury because of its jurisdiction over financial flows, its enforcement of international sanctions, and its organic symbiosis of Wall Street. That's Mike Lofgren, former congressman. Now, I'm going to add this. The Rothschild banking cartel controls all of this through the Exchange Stability Fund, which we talked about yesterday in 1934, that was established because they took over the Treasury of the United States at that point. These are the institutions, agencies, and ongoing programs that are above the law, beyond scrutiny, operating in near total secrecy. They truly could care less who the American people vote for, because they're going to determine the election anyhow, as far as they're concerned, because whoever wins the White House, they're going to try to control them. This is why when I brought the comment up from Dave Hodges, do I trust Donald Trump 100%? My response was no. I don't know if Goldman Sachs owns him. I don't know. Now, the topping the list of the following major players, number one, intelligence agencies. Business Insider reports that the U.S. intelligence community is comprised of 17 discrete agencies that operate with enormous budgets and incredible secrecy, bringing total surveillance and total information awareness to bear on the people of the earth. Of the 17 agencies, some of the most prominent and most active include the CIA. Now, I've talked about this at length. These are the guys that control the deep state. Secondly, the National Security Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Department of Homeland Security, and the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research, none of which will be adversely affected by either candidate's policies. Oversight of these agencies falls to the Department of Defense or Congress, leaving the average citizen with precious little knowledge of how they operate. Now I'm going to stop again on this. The oversight of these agencies falls to the Department of Defense or Congress, but Congress, unless you have the clearance for this or you're not involved in one of these committees, you really don't know where the black ops money goes. This is why when you contact your people in Congress and you send them videos and lab reports of chemtrails and huge amounts of water from the sky that's contaminated with barium, aluminum, and strontium, they look at you like a calf at a new gate. They have no idea what you're talking about because they're not included in these black budget meetings. They don't know. They don't have any idea where the money goes either because it's all part of the black ops, the black budget. They don't know where it goes. These are funded by largely classified budgets. It's difficult to assess how much the U.S. annually spends on these clandestine operations, but one 2012 estimate pegs it at about $75 billion. That's insanely low because, remember, and that's insanely low. That's just stupid. That's a number that this guy wrote in here because you can get a source for it. But the problem with that is it's much, much higher than that. The revenue generated from the heroin importation into the United States alone is $1 trillion a year. You've got to set the budget at $1 trillion. Plus, the military just announced it lost another $6 trillion. I can't find out where that money went. Plus, Catherine Austin Fitz, as I mentioned earlier, $40 trillion disappeared, not to mention all the money they had sucked into all of these other projects. Number two, DARPA. This is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Is a scientific vanguard of the deep state. This is the one that's worked together with the Morgellons systems and the Morgellons antenna to spray these live bacteria, viruses, animal, plant products on us that get incorporated into our lung tissue and get systemically distributed throughout our blood. DARPA is the world's pioneer of advanced technology bringing science fiction to life with an on-the-record annual budget of close to $3 billion. Okay? Their role in our world seems to be absorbed in all possible human innovation and redirect toward the art of killing and controlling people. A simple Google search of DARPA reveals an endless array of incredibly cool science projects and public science competitions designed to discover and recruit greatest upcoming scientific minds that the human race produces. Their influence on our world cannot be understated, both for the positive contributions to society and for the development of the internet and for their nefarious reworks of every great scientific idea. Their work will continue unabated no matter who is president. That's true. Because of this black ops budget situation that's going on. Even President Clinton said when he was in office, when asked certain questions, he said he didn't know the answers to that, and he learned very quickly that when he became president that there were places and people and things that he answered to, and he was not privy to what's going on as to who running the government. Number three is Wall Street and Silicon Valley. Wall Street is the organization of the criminal bankers and the law firms who've managed to reconfigure government and global finance to work in their favor, allowing them to privatize for profit and socialize losses, guaranteeing the infinite enrichment of the 1%. Their power, originally garnered with the creation of central banking and banking corporation of the Federal Reserve, is now maintained and concentrated by their technological sophistication through the coordination with Silicon Valley. Now, it says something here. I'm going to read this again. Wall Street is the organization of criminal bankers and law firms who've managed to reconfigure government and global finance to work in their favor, here we go, allowing them to privatize for profit and socialize the losses. In other words, when they screw up and they make a huge mistake, the taxpayers have to bail them out. That'd be us, okay? Or they just print more money to do it. Scientist, author, and celebrated technological philosopher Jaron Lanier writes that the banking's elite ability to outpace even the regulatory agency's ability to understand and control the technology now involved in exacting trades due to the simple fact that private companies with endless resources can afford to buy the best minds on earth, and they do this with their computer trading, which is like hundreds of thousands of trades per second, millions of trades per second, which you can't physically do that if you're trying to trade not using a computer. As Lanier puts it, there is a high-tech network scheme at play that seems to concentrate wealth while at the same time causing volatility and trauma for ordinary people, particularly taxpayers, who often ended up paying for the bailout. No individual investor could compete with these siren servers, no matter how smart or lucky. Combined, the powers of Wall Street and Silicon Valley effectively own the U.S. government. Now, I'm going to say this. I got to clarify this. Wall Street and Silicon Valley work through the Rothschild cartel, which is who owns the U.S. government, through the Treasury from 1934 through the Exchange Stability Fund. That's the actual way it ties together. the military-industrial complex, again, is owned by, this is number four, again, is owned by these folks who the Rothschilds put in power to manage the military. Because remember, we're the military arm of the New World Order. The Vatican is the spiritual arm of bringing Lucifer in, and England is the banking arm. That's how it works with this trilateral thing we've got going on. All three of our countries have large obelisks at the center in order to basically maintain the homage to Lucifer. The Vatican has a large obelisk right in the middle of St. Peter's Square. I took a picture of it a few months ago. The banking city in London, basically it's 1 square mile owned real estate by the Arthur Rothschild cartels, which runs the banking conglomerates in England. It also has its own obelisk to Lucifer, which is the erected phallic symbol for ISIS and those boys, and that's what I'm going to get into that today. And the craziest thing about this is that these are the guys that are bringing in this new world order. This is the this is basically the head. This is why when I talked about the book, the Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the Vatican, the CIA, and basically what was the other one else in the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. That ties all these pieces together. Now, also, you have the secret black budget and space programs. These are the programs that are often spoken about only in rumors. The best guess is they are funded by money stolen from the American people and through the money coming in from the heroin from Afghanistan. And they operate in locations such as the fabled deep underground bases, which we don't have tickets to, under the protection of the military. We know they exist because of the occasional media leaks about their technological achievements and secretly funded programs, yet information is often sketchy. Nonetheless, this works. Their works will continue to influence the direction of global conflict. Plus, we have the missing trillions of taxpayers' money, which Catherine Austin Fitz talked about already, and the final thoughts. In light of the revelations and existence, as well as speculated funding by missing public money, basically what we have to realize is that if Trump is willing to step up now and do something about this deep state, Austin, we're going to have a change in the United States. And I said this in Hagman's show a few months ago, and I've also said it on my show. If Donald Trump becomes president and they stop spraying us with chemtrails, if that stops, we'll know he's in charge. If it does not stop, we'll know he's not in charge, period. That's the bottom line, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, we the people have given the control to a corrupt government who's given it over to the intelligence agencies like the CIA, who basically control the military, who then turn around and control the black sorcerers and the people that do all the stuff with DARPA, which I've done entire shows on. You guys can listen to that. And how they control the energy field around the planet. Like right now, they're planning on setting up a 5G network globally, especially around the United States. And they're going to be able to use this with the DARPA technology, if they'd like, to control thoughts, control moods, control energy fields around people, and to change people's attitudes almost immediately if this 5G network comes up and we don't learn to turn off our Wi-Fi routers and our cell phones at night. This is really important. You guys listen to me on this, because these antennas will be very small at that level, and they can put them pretty much anywhere. So it's just really important that we all continue to pray, because our weapons are not carnal. Okay, when we issue these scalar waves and these eddies and these potentials that are created and the energy that's harnessed from the planet itself, and we can release the dunamis, the dynamite of prayer, it changes everything. Hence, we talked about this yesterday, while the Wicked Witches of Benghazi here is collapsing. One ABC news story, Austin, which this was interesting. I found this out since yesterday. It was WABC in New York. WABC TV Channel 7 in New York actually reported that Hillary died on 9/11.
Yep, I heard about that too.
Yep, they said she died. Now, they've taken that off their archives, but that was the original report. And now we know that this person who appeared from Chelsea Clinton's home was a body double. I'm going to give you her name in just a minute. I've got her name now. I've got her name. I had a top lady who worked as a government prosecutor for the federal government, sent me a link giving me this lady's name, who popped out of Chelsea's apartment apparently on Sunday. So we've got some crazy stuff that's happening here all over the place. And let me read you what they say here about the news. A video clip of WABC TV channel Eyewitness News in New York City opened last night with anchorman Joe Torrance saying more on Hillary's death. The opening line, however, has been edited out of the video archive. Did Hillary die after leaving the 9/11 ceremony in New York? I have no idea. And we wouldn't know. And the information is being concealed. A whole slew of irregularities have cropped up indicating that this may actually be the case. Here's a video segment from the 11 p.m. Eyewitness News broadcast in which anchorman Joe Torrent seems to say Hillary Clinton is dead. If I can see if this will still play or not. If it'll play, we'll listen to it. Okay, hang on a sec. Let me try that again. Sorry about the low-tech situation I have here. I'm about to get that fixed up. Well, too low-tech, I'm afraid. Well, I'll do this tomorrow for you guys. I'm not going to sit here and play games on this video thing. But the reality is we've got a situation in which now we think that Hillary Clinton may have actually checked out and may not even be alive right now. Now, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just telling you what WABC in New York says. Now, what's crazy about this is the apartment that Hillary Clinton bought for Chelsea has an address in that apartment for a medical facility. So apparently when they spent the $13 million for this place, there's a medical facility built in at that same address, and perhaps that's why she was whisked to that medical facility rather than being taken to a local hospital, because she doesn't want her treatment protocols to be seen going through an emergency room. Think about this for a second, and all of those people see all of this. Now, a few months ago, the London Daily Mail newspaper did a story about a woman who earns $10,000 a month as a Hillary Clinton impersonator. The woman's name is Teresa Barnswell. You can Google her. Repeat, Teresa Barnswell, B-A-R-N-S-W-E-L-L. And they have a photo of her. And the London Daily Mail, one of the oldest and largest and most respected newspapers in London, England, called her greatest Hillary lookalike in the world. You can read the story if you want that by that publication. Hillary Barnswell has her own Twitter feed, and guess what she tweeted late Sunday afternoon? Listen to this. This is what she tweeted Sunday. Yes, that she's hinting she's in New York City, and what building is in the background? You got it. Chelsea Clinton's home. Okay? Lest anyone accuse us of being conspiracy theorists, it should be noted that late Sunday, the Clinton campaign announced Hillary was canceling campaign activities for the next 2 days to get rest. Shortly after that announcement, MSNBC reporter David Schuster tweeted the Democratic National Committee was expected to meet in an emergency meeting to consider replacing Hillary as candidate for president. Here is Schuster's tweet. This is a stunning announcement. It says, expect emergency DNC meeting to consider replacement Hillary. David Schuster. Superstation 95's earlier story about emergency DNC meeting to replace Hillary here. You don't replace a candidate for president who's merely sick. Okay? But you have to do that if she's dead. Now, if she's dead, I don't know. I don't personally think she's dead. I think this is being overstated. I think she had a real close death experience, but I can guarantee you they're going to keep her alive pretty much any possibility they possibly can. In fact, I sent a cartoon out today to my database here at the house. Basically they have her, you know, in a basically on a respirator, you know, basically comatose, about to die. And there's a video going in the background of her impersonator walking around saying how great she feels and how wonderful the weather is. I mean, so guys, this is some weird stuff that we're in the middle of right now with this election. I don't think the woman's dead. I'm just telling you what WABC out of New York said, which now they've released. They've taken that away. But we do know that there was an impersonator who supposedly suggested that she was in New York City walking around. If you look at the lady who walked out of Hillary's daughter's apartment in that area, she was unprotected by Secret Service. They weren't right beside her watching her. The big black guy wasn't there, shoulder to shoulder with her. She was walking without being held up or propped up. She's carrying her purse on the opposite arm that a woman does. I mean, Hillary carries it on her right arm. She had it on her left arm. Her shoulder situation wasn't the same. Her left shoulder was dropped down more, and she's about 20 or 30 pounds lighter than Hillary was. Plus, she looked like 10 or 15 years younger. Now, I can look at the pictures. It doesn't look like the same person to me. Now, from a distance, it does. And we talked about this at length yesterday, and I broke it on a story last week about body doubles for Hillary. So who knows, Austin? Who knows what they're doing or what they're planning? All I know is this. This election, says Cycle, is getting really, really, really weird. What do you think, son?
No, it's completely strange. I mean, it's like living in the Twilight Zone. I mean, the fact that we even saw that video online yesterday of them literally carrying and dragging her body. I mean, it was like a lifeless, limp body. It looked almost like it was a mannequin. If people hadn't seen her walk up to her motorcade like that before and lean up against that pole for a minute before it showed up, you literally would have thought it was a mannequin, just a dummy. And the fact that this isn't even happening, and we're still, as Americans, accepting the fact that this is okay as a presidential nominee, is very bizarre to me. I mean, it really is. I mean, she completely collapsed yesterday, and then the doctor says she has pneumonia. And then they say, oh, well, then they first say, oh, no, she had a heat stroke. Well, nobody bought that, so then they had to say she had pneumonia. And now what she did after yesterday, the Clinton campaign manager, Robbie Mook, went on CNN and basically tried to use this whole incident to twist it onto Trump. And he goes, we know more about Hillary than any other presidential candidate in history, and we know almost nothing about Donald Trump, and he has to come forward with this information about his taxes and his health.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go. So what they're trying to do is they're always trying to spin it. Now, Donald Trump's already said that he's going to release his physical exams that he went through last week, and they're going to get released this week. He's had a full physical that's going to be released this week. But what they do is, as I talked about this the other day in detail, with the Clintons, with the media, with the globalists, with all of it, it's always about trying to obfuscate the truth. That's what it's always about, obfuscation. They always want you to look in a different direction. You can't tell me to think that she was standing there so out of her mind that she collapsed and had to be carried in her van by three or four people, and then a few hours later she's walking around on her balcony with her purse saying how wonderful it looks throughout the day. I've seen people when they collapse. I know people that have had pneumonia and have had heat strokes. You don't just pop right back up a few hours later and start rambling about how amazing the day is. Obviously, that was a body double. His dad already said, I'm completely convinced of that. But also,
well,
too,
the video I saw, she wasn't walking on a balcony. She was walking around out on the street without her protective detail around her. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That lady's the most protected person on the planet. I mean, she was just walking around. Oh, look at me. I'm fine now. Here I am. Look at me. I mean, are you kidding me? Really?
Watch the video of her motorcade. When it pulled up, before she falls into the van, there's literally like 15 security personnel around here that swarm in at the very end. I mean, they're all over the place. I mean, literally every single direction, they swarm in and tighten up around her when she starts falling. But one thing I wanted to add on to what you're talking about with the deep state and this black budget and everything we had, Dad, the Washington Post found a few years ago, they did a report, and I wanted to talk about just the same thing you said. They came out and they found that there were 1,271 government organizations and 1,931 private companies that work on programs related to counterterrorism, homeland security, and intelligence at about 10,000 different locations in the United States.
Wow.
As you said earlier, that $60 to $70 billion a year for the black budget is bogus. It's probably about 10 times that. I would imagine, in my opinion, it's probably between $70 to $900 billion. They probably keep it under $1 trillion per year to try and keep that zero shaved off of it. But there's an estimated 854,000 people that have top secret security clearances in Washington and the surrounding area. As since 9/11, now this is just since 9/11, there have been 33, again, there's the number, guys, 33 building complexes for top secret intelligence work since September 2001. Together they occupy the equivalent of almost 3 pentagons or 22 U.S. Capitol buildings, around 17 million square feet of space in these buildings that are only for top secret intelligence. And it goes on in here. They keep on saying that the amount of domestic counterism terrorism that we've spent on this since 9/11 is staggering, that there's over 16 different spy agencies and 107,000 employees that work in the black budget that nobody knows anything about, who they are, what they do, how much they're paid, where they live, where they work, nothing. So this whole thing that we've seen, I've told people so many times about this, about 9/11, I said, before 9/11, we didn't have the Patriot Act. We didn't have Homeland Security. Most people don't even realize that. The Department of Homeland Security did not exist before 9/11. They were put in place immediately after. They were literally already prepped on paper, ready to submit it as soon as 9/11 happened. Immediately, they had it ready to go. The NSA was a tiny little fraction of what they were. They didn't even have the security measures that they have now as far as being able to tap people without warrants and everything else they have. All this stuff happened directly after 9/11, and it was all primed, prepped, written, ready to go as soon as the towers fell down. They didn't even let the dust settle before these papers hit the desk to start having this stuff enacted and have Homeland Security brought in. So yes, the whole idea of 9/11 was just a random, you know, terrorist threat that nobody had anything about. I think most people are realizing now that it's complete and total lie, and everybody wants to know the truth about it. And the more and more we start digging into this, we're really starting to get to the bottom of it. And when you start looking at these numbers from the black budget and what we're doing in all these countries with all these people that that don't exist, that don't even know. Remember, guys, the whole Benghazi incident, that was a CIA black site. It didn't exist. It wasn't even supposed to be there. That entire firefight that happened second to the ambassador grounds being intact wasn't even supposed to be there. That was one of the biggest things about Benghazi when that whole incident came out, is the fact that a CIA black site was getting attacked that wasn't even supposed to exist. That was just a minute, a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what we see as far as it's going on now in all these other countries and in this country, and it's gotten completely out of control. And Dad's right. If the chemtrails stop, we know Trump's real. If they don't, I hate to say it, but I think it may just be another facade. It's the same old, same old, unless something's changing on the back end that we haven't seen yet.
Well, that's the absolute fact. I mean, look at it this way. I mean, if we continue to get the same response and the results from the government when we talk to them about chemtrails and, you know, weather modification and geoengineering as we do now, which is basically silence, then we know that there's no truth to this. I mean, he's just basically going to do whatever he can do, and that's the end of it, and the black ops are still going to run everything. By the way, Germany has at least 520 Islamic militants now living in the country who are capable of lone wolf attacks or hit team strikes at any times, warns the German Interior Minister. That's got to be special for those guys over there. Germany has at least 520 militants living in the area. Many Germans fear that fighters belonging to ISIS jihadist groups could have slipped into Germany with the roughly 1 million, and of course there's more than that now, it's closer to 2 million refugees from Syria, North Africa, and Asia who arrived last year. The terror threat now stems from foreign hit teams as well as fanatical lone wolves in Germany. De Maizière said in an interview ahead of the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks in the United States, which were partly coordinated from Germany. The hit teams were secretly smuggled into Europe to repair their actions without being noticed, and we saw with the attacks in Paris and Brussels. But even more difficult to uncover the fanatical lone wolves. Unfortunately, there is a real present danger from both threats. Guys, I'm telling you this, and I'm going to tell it again. Bringing in these radical Islamic Muslims, jihadists from all over the world, tens of thousands of them now into the United States, documented, you know, is bringing basically the work of Lucifer right into our country. These religions, this Islam, this radical Islam and Christianity don't mix. Their response is, you convert to Islam or they kill you. That's what the Quran tells them to do. In the Bible, you convert to Christianity or you don't. You have to choose which one you want because it's freedom. You don't have to be forced into Christianity. There's a difference there. One religion says you're going to be Islamic and you're going to worship, you know, Allah, or we're going to kill you and cut your head off. Or basically, we don't care whether you convert or not. That's what true Christianity is about. That's what God wants for us to be, Christians who choose Him, not because we're forced to choose Him. Remember, Islam means basically you have to be subjected. You have to be, you know, you have to come down. You have to be basically controlled and maintained. And so that's what the whole thing boils down to, is a control religion. So the thing about this is this. Do we really want these people in the United States? Trump was right about that. The problem is, Austin, Trump's run his mouth about a bunch of stuff that he's not talking about much anymore. And so he's going to have to realize that if he wants to get elected, he's got to go back to doing what he did to get to where he is, instead of just kind of becoming a in-the-middle kind of centrist kind of candidate. I mean, I really want him to build a wall in Mexico in those areas where they come across. I mean, I believe a lot of people listening want the wall. At least a border patrol down there with our United States troops that are sitting on idle in other countries right now. Gosh, we got 50,000 troops right now in South Korea. Just let South Korea do what they want to do over there and say goodbye, South Korea, quit trying to patrol the whole world. Put our 50,000 troops across the border. You don't need to put a wall up, son. 50,000 troops will do it. You can take care of it. 50,000 troops, 25,000 Hummers driving back and forth all day long with photo equipment. It's not going to be an issue anymore. But the reality is, guys, we can't continue to do this Cloward Piven strategy of destroying the United States, this Democratic strategy of bringing in all these undocumented voters to vote Democrats, to Democratic, to bring in a communist, one-world, fascist dictatorship into the United States and completely to destroy our Constitution, which is where it's headed. And I believe that Christians are finally starting to wake up and realize, and also patriots. Just because you're not a Christian doesn't mean you can't be a patriot. I've talked about that in length before on the show. Patriots are finally waking up and saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to be part of this new world order. I want to leave the United States the way the United States is. I don't want to have to be able to give travel papers out, which they're trying to do now with TSA, in which you have to produce papers like they did in Nazi Germany if you're going to travel. That's complete nonsense, but that's where it's headed. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right, and that just goes into the article that I pulled up from CNS News earlier. The State Department Refugee Processing Center has basically shown now that the Syrian refugee program, just from Syria, we've taken in now 11,491 refugees from Syria to date so far. The sad part about this is, guys, 54 of the 11,491, that's 0.46% are Christian. It comprises of 14 Catholics, 6 Orthodox, 4 Protestants, 1 Greek Orthodox, plus 29 refugees identifying as Christian rather than any other denomination or section. 54 of the 11,491 Syrians that have come into this country this year are Christian. That shows you right there exactly what this agenda promotes in the United States. Now, I'm not saying that Muslims can't ever enter this country. I'm not saying that. I think they need to be vetted properly. I think they need to be checked out as far as full backgrounds and why they want to come to this country, what they want to bring to this country, what they want to support in this country, and have an idea of what our rules, regulations, and constitution calls for in this country. Basically sitting there having to completely denounce Sharia law, I think that should be 100% required. Any Muslim that wants to come to this country and implement Sharia law has no business, heart, or right coming to this country under any circumstances whatsoever. That's the truth. But the fact here that they're deliberately discriminating against Christians and they're only allowing 54 out of almost 12,000 this year got in. That's it. That shows you exactly what Dad is talking about with the clouded pivot. They want to make the country fall apart from the inside. And right now, if something doesn't change rapidly, we're going to see that. When we see all this hatred and animosity with the police, with the Black Lives Matter, with the Muslims, with the Mexican M13 gangs coming in through Mexico, it's happening. It's happening very quickly. And Dad's absolutely right. If they don't want to do a wall, they need to bring back some of these troops that we have sitting around and put them in the National Guard and let them do patrol with border down there on the south border. I mean, that would be a lot more efficient, a lot more cost-effective than keeping literally tens of thousands of troops in all these other countries doing nothing. And I'm not putting them down saying they're not doing something, but I'm saying there's no legitimate cost-effective reason for us to be in a substantial amount of these countries that we're just posted up in for absolutely no reason at all. So, yes, he's absolutely right about that, and we really, really, really need to start promoting the allowance of Christians from these other countries to come in, and they need to be the first priority. The Muslims, they've done what they've done for thousands of years. That's why they live where they live. That entire religion, that entire promotion of anger, violence, and deliberate malice towards other individuals that are not your religion, that's what it gets you. It gets what they are in now. The constant civil wars, the constant fights, the constant killing, that is the type of behavior that they're used to. We don't need to promote that in this country, nor do we need to allow it to come in.
Well, the only reason that Saudi Arabia and these Arab countries have any money is because of oil.
Oh, yeah.
Before oil became the big boom in the last 140 years, it basically was useless to these people. They were living as Bedouins running around in the desert with camels and sheep. That's all they did. I mean, they were tribal. They were just tribes. And that's what they were. And they basically have no infrastructure because of that. And they have no basically formed government because of that. And we put the House of Saud in when we did the Balfour Declaration, you know, and with the Treaty of Versailles. We did all that. The United States did all that. I mean, we're the ones who set that whole thing up over there. And we gave them the infrastructure and the government to work with, but it's still a monarchy. You know, we put them in and made this guy king. which gave him basically unlimited powers to kill everybody. And what happened with, that's why they have their annual beheadings at the beginning of every year. They went there and whopped 50 or 60 or 100 people's heads off right on the street. That's what kind of people they are. Okay, right in the middle of everything. I mean, they're still back with the Crusades, back hanging people on crosses. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that goes on over there. And the sad part about it is, they're our ally, but they were also deeply involved working with the CIA and the Mossad as far as 9/11. And I covered this entire thing about Saudi Arabia being allies with Israel and how that's even possible. And it was all because of the Balfour Declaration with Lord Rothschild. Why don't we want to call him a Lord, the lowlife Rothschild, who did all of this back in 1920, around that area with the, when all those treaties were being signed. So they have this big treaty pact. If you wonder why in the world Saudi Arabia's Arab, and we've got the Jews just a few miles down the road, you know, a few miles up the road, I guess you should say, and how they never fight each other, why you don't have the Mossad attacking bases in Saudi. Well, that's why. Because they're allies. See, this whole thing is just a big pawn in the game deal. That's all this is. There's a really good book you can read by Shelton Emery. It's online. It's free. You get a PDF download. It's called Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People by Shelton Emery, E-M-O-R-Y. Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People. It's a little paperback. It'll literally take you 25 minutes to read, and it really explains who these groups of people are, what they do, and what their final end agenda is. And the whole thing boils down to global conquest. That's what it's all about. All right, here's something other interesting. This is from the CS Monitor. Days after North Korea carried out its fifth nuclear test, it issued an unusual acknowledgement that flooding has devastated the entire northern part of the country. Of course it has. We parked a bunch of chemtrails over them, and we decided to flood the crap out of them with their doggone weather. We're using weather warfare, which has been banned, but we're doing it anyhow because I guarantee you we did this. There's no way this has happened in Korea. According to a report from North Korea Central News Agency published in the English Sunday, the northeast region of the country has experienced the heaviest downpour since 1945. Imagine that. With tens of thousands of buildings destroyed, and people left homeless and suffering great hardship, according to CNN. The report from KCNA, the country's official state media, is uncharacteristic admission by the Hermit Kingdom that not all is well. Because the KCNA published a report in English, it was likely written to draw the attention of the international community. But such requests are often met with reluctance from global donors because it's unclear how much humanitarian aid will reach the people of the hardest hit regions of North Korea has imposed conditions on international donors' abilities to monitor aid. The flooding, which began August 29th, was brought on by Typhoon Lion Rock. According to the United Nations report on the House Office of Humanitarian Affairs, the floods have killed 133 people and hundreds of others are missing, and 140,000 are in urgent need of assistance. So here's the thing, guys. 35,000 houses have also been damaged, 69% of which are completely destroyed. Guys, weather as a weapon is unprecedented. I remember when Patton, if you watch the movie Patton, he asked the preacher to pray for open skies so they get their aircraft when they're invading Germany. The truth is this: weather is an incredible force multiplier. If you suddenly have lightning storms and 6 inches a minute or six inches an hour of rain coming down on top of an enemy position, they're not going to launch anything. They're not going to launch any missiles. They're not going to shoot anything. They're just trying not to drown. And they're trying to get stuck in the mud. It's an incredible force multiplier, and our military has worked on that and worked on that research now since the 40s. And that's exactly what all this is about. When you see a huge storm park over Cuba for forever, or a huge storm do this in North Korea, the biggest in like 60, 70 years, or three hurricanes hit Central Florida in 6 weeks, all crossing Polk County where we live, as the nexus of all three storms, statistically, that's completely and totally improbable to the point of impossible. And we've seen it. We've seen what they can do. I mean, it's the nuttiest stuff I've ever seen. But this is what they do with the force multipliers and with the harp, with the weather and all the stuff they do. So guys, if you think that these earthquakes that are happening all over are just happening to happen in those areas, they can be created too. We now have earthquake weapons. All of this stuff I've covered on with Hagman, and we've covered on this show before. So guys, hope you've been listening the whole time, because I hate being redundant and covering all that stuff. What do you think about this deluge in North Korea killing all these people, Oz?
Well, there's no question about it. I brought up yesterday about North Korea was talking about doing a, or they did, apparently, supposedly, did another nuclear test. Yep. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I could definitely see, and we know for a fact, that the weather modification program is very real and is very active. There's no question about that at all. So could they have done it to him? Absolutely. Did they? I don't know. But it very well may have. But this is something I wanted to bring up today again, guys, because I talked to somebody on the phone the other day, and they were kind of oblivious to the HPV vaccine. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you. So I had to kind of inform them and, you know, update them on the real truth about this. And, guys, I know my regular listeners are going to think I'm being so redundant, but for some reason I still have people calling the office that still think this vaccine is okay because apparently doctors are blatantly lying to patients, telling them that this is okay for their kids to take. This is, report is out of Denmark now. This is just recent. It was one of the latest victims. Her name was Sanne Charlotte Falke. She's from Denmark. And basically, she began being propositioned by her doctor to get the Gardasil shot a few years ago because she was allegedly in a risk zone for cancer. That's what they always remember. I told you guys again, it's always about scaring you to do something. Oh, you're going to die. You're going to get cancer. You have to do this right now. Well, she rejected it immediately because she was concerned because she had heard some stuff about it. Then also, too, they had to pay for it back then. Well, a year and a half later, Denmark offered the vaccine for free. Of course they did. So she considered doing it. She asked her doctor flat out if there were any side effects, and the doctor replied, no. This vaccine has no side effects. You may get some redness or swelling at the injection site, but nothing else. After agreeing to get the first of the three-part vaccine series based on the false reassurance, she immediately came down with nausea, vomiting, fever, and chills. Within days, the symptoms progressed into blackouts, dizziness, low metabolism, and inability to hold down food. She went back to the doctor to seek answers. She was not given any, and she was encouraged to continue the vaccine series despite the obvious harm it should cause. This is what makes me so mad about these stinking doctors that do stuff like this. So she goes back on her second visit to a different doctor and asks him the same question about Gardasil. The second doctor said, no, you're experiencing some type of influenza symptom that you had basically suffered. It was not caused by the vaccine. The vaccine does not have any side effects. Trusting the second doctor, she got her second Gardasil shot and experienced the same symptoms before, except extreme stomach pain and even more dizziness, and rolled into migraine headaches and inability to think clearly. After seeing doctors nearly a dozen times for these symptoms and literally had no idea, the doctors had no idea what was going on with her, she went to her third appointment for the Gardasil vaccine and saw a third different doctor who, as the first two told her they had no side effects, gave her a third Gardasil vaccine. She fell into the worst state she had ever been in, with leg cramps, paralysis of the legs, numbing of the feet, and all the other symptoms. Until now, she's still experiencing those symptoms and has not gotten better. They keep coming and changing every week. Now, why she continued to allow the doctors to manipulate and to pollute her mind into thinking this was okay, I'm not sure. A lot of people don't have the resolve sometimes, and they get scared when they go see the doctor. That does happen. But guys, listen to me. This is not a vaccine to play games with. None of the vaccines on the market are safe, in my opinion. This vaccine is an abysmal failure. It is an absolute debauchery of any type of vaccine that has ever been produced. It is one of the worst things that has ever been presented to the world population. Do not take it. I'm absolutely telling you that right now. There's no reason to take this vaccine. If you guys call me up and ask me about it, please listen to this show first, because I'm going to tell you the exact same thing. Do not take this vaccine. It is a death shot. Almost every single person I've read about or talked to has had some type of either minor to serious side effects to death from this vaccine. That's as clear as I can be about it if you guys call me. That's why I'm saying it on the show right now. That is my take on it. If you don't believe me, go read some research. Just Google Gardasil side effects, Gardasil death, Gardasil problems, and you will literally get hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of hits from those searches right there. And do your own research before you inject yourself or especially your children with this absolute toxic garbage they're trying to peddle onto the world population right now.
Well, Austin, you got to remember, the lead researcher, and I can look it up real quick, but you guys can too. We need to probably pull it up for tomorrow's show. their lead researcher on this vaccine, getting it approved and doing the research on it, announced at the pediatric conference earlier this year that the whole thing was bogus, that it did not work and it was dangerous and don't use it. And its own testing proved that it did not work and it didn't provide any safety. So it's just dangerous. And so again, it's all about the United Nations population control agenda. It makes a lot of these girls go into basically menopause. It makes them sterile. Their ovaries stop working. They stop producing eggs, or if they stop producing fertile eggs. I mean, they go into menses. I mean, they basically shut down their reproductive organs when they're 14, 15 years old, and they can never get pregnant. That's what the bottom line here is. Because remember, all of these people being brought into this country, these Muslims, okay, and these third world people, they're not getting these shots. They're coming in with no shots. They're being put into the schools with no shots in most cases. So they're not going to be sterilized. It's all about destroying the white race. That's what this is all about. Now, you can label it any way you want to label it. That's just what it's about. They don't want us here because we provide too much opposition for their agendas. And I know you say, well, that sounds like you're being like racist. Well, I'm not being racist. It's just the truth. Look at Europe. Look what happened in Europe, you know, when all the people in Europe who were the really hard industrious workers, the Protestants, left Germany, left Europe. They came to the United States, they immigrated, and they built the greatest country ever in the history of the planet, period. Okay, now let's back up and go down to Africa. Where do you want to live down there? The only countries that have anything going down there are the ones that have any type of oil going on, or maybe they're doing some type of raw material extraction, or they're doing some type of crop products. You know, like Nigeria, they have a pretty good economy, but they're still in poverty down there. I mean, where do you want to live? I mean, think about that for a second. I'm not, you know, saying that they're worse people than me, and I'm not saying they're genetically inferior to us. What I'm saying is that the white people have basically settled the United States and have settled Europe, and look at the cultural differences between us and all the other parts of the world. Look at what they were able to build in Europe. Look at all of the compounds that are built that are thousands of years old over there, like the Colosseum. Now, they weren't Protestants, obviously, but they were that part of that organization, that race over there. So, I mean, think through this for a second. They don't want us having that mindset. So they're going to bring in these countries, people from these countries who don't know how to use a toilet, who are going to reproduce and have 16, 18, 20 kids with their four wives. Now, what's always funny to me, Austin, is this. You know, polygamy has been outlawed in the United States, but apparently it's okay if you're a Muslim in the United States, because they want to be under their own Sharia law courts anyhow. So the whole thing is just messed up. So we've got to understand this is an all-out assault on white people. Now, I know that sounds really strange to everybody listening to me today, but just look at the numbers. Look at how many Christians they brought in from the Middle East. What, 40, 50 out of 11,000? Are you kidding me? Those numbers are horrible. They don't want Christians here. They want to do everything that debilitates our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our souls, everything. They don't want Christianity as a global religion anymore. They don't want any of that. They want to bring in their own New World Order with their own religion. So if you think that George Bush is a Christian, I got some swampland I can have you look at down here in Florida. The guy goes to Bohemian Grove. Now, let me tell you what would happen. It's like my buddy, the DJ, when he went to that Babylonian party because he was curious. And he got there, and they started walking down the spiral staircase naked, wearing all kinds of weird stuff, okay? He just got up and left. He goes, I don't want to be part of this. I'm getting out of here, okay? And then they told him the next day that they would urinate on his grave if he talked about what happened, because he left the party. This guy's nationally known. And then his syndication was canceled right after that. And now he's not syndicated any longer throughout the country. Now, here's what's interesting about this. If I happened to find myself in one of these whack bag places like Bohemian Grove and I didn't know anything about it, and I walked in and all of a sudden there's a bunch of gay guys running around who are prostitutes, I'd be like, you know, this just isn't my deal here. I gotta go. I don't like this. Now, if I managed not to see that and I start seeing guys running around dressed like women, which they do, there's pictures of them on the internet with Kissinger and the rest of them, and I saw that, I'd be like, this is not really my deal. I gotta go. And now, if I was at Skull and Bones and they were trying to initiate me into one of their little services and they told me to get in the casket naked with another guy, my response would be, goes, you know, guys, I'm happy for you guys. You have your own little fun secret society here. I gotta go. Now, if I missed all of that and I just show up at Bohemian Grove and they light up that big doggone owl, and they start doing all this chant stuff with their cremation and care ceremony, and they're bringing a human being in effigy to turn and put into this idol to burn it as a sacrifice. I would not just go. I would run. I would say, the heck with this weird, whacked out mess. I am out of here. These guys are Looney Tunes. George Bush went through all of that. Okay? He saw all of that, and he didn't leave. Okay? He stayed there for all of that. Now, here's the whole thing. You think that's a Christian? You think that he's born again? Do you think he's given his life over to the lordship of the Most High God's Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua? Do you think he's done it? Absolutely not. Because the Bible says we will know them by their fruit. You can't engage in this weird behavior these guys get involved in and consider yourself to be saved. And if you see this stuff going on, you got to stand firm in your faith. You got to say, you know what? It's time to walk out the door as quick as I walk out of the door. Now, with Alex Jones, I will give him credit. When he got into Bohemian Grove and he saw all this crazy stuff, he was there for research and he videotaped the cremation of care ceremony. He wasn't there as a willing participant. He snuck in and he's lucky he didn't get arrested for doing that. So, guys, listen. Everything leaves clues of who we are and what we are. It's all based upon what we do and how we live. And so, am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely yes. But guys, listen to me. Do the best you can. Jesus Christ came for you, and His grace is sufficient for you to cover the rest of it. But when you see stuff that's blatant, just say, no, I have no interest in that. No interest whatsoever. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for buying your vitamins from us and getting your multiple vitamins from us, because all of you buy multiples anyhow, and a lot of you now are buying those from us instead of getting them from the grocery store, from the drugstore. We love you guys. I appreciate you listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. You need anything, email us, give us a call, healthmasters.com. Product of the week will be winning tomorrow. It looks like potassium iodide is the top voted product, so it should be winning tomorrow, unless you guys want another one to win that you can vote up. You can check that out at healthmasters.com. We appreciate everything, you guys. You have a wonderful, blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.